Good to be here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. We know that we're not alone when we're out doing the Lord's work, that we can all have encouragement one for another. How many times have you told your children, if you're a good boy or girl, I'll get you this. Or if you do this, then I'll do that. Or maybe with your job or something. You told the employee, you know, this is what I expect of you. And if you do your job, then come payday, I'll pay you. It's always got that if and all in it. But there's always a reward for what we do. It said, I come across a little story. It said that in ancient times, that the king had his men go out and place a big boulder in the middle of a roadway. He then hid in the bushes and he watched to see if anyone would move the boulder out of the way. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants passed by and they simply just walked out around it. Many people blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear, but none of them did anything about getting this large stone out of not only their way, but out of the way of others. So one day a peasant came along carrying vegetables. Now upon approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his burden and he tried to push his big stone out of the way. After much pushing and tugging and straining, he finally managed to move the boulder out of the road. And after the peasant went back to pick up his vegetables, he noticed that a person was lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king that explained that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder out of the road. You know, our Heavenly Father has promised each and every one of us a home in heaven if we would keep His word. That word, if, is a big word for just two letters. Throughout the Bible, God promises His children wonderful blessings if we obey Him. Leviticus chapter 26 is one of those instances. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1 begins with God demanding total allegiance to Him and Him alone. Brother Clay's done some wonderful lessons with us on the children, the Israelites and all. And we see from them that they're one of the main ones that God really blessed. He took care of them. But yet, they just didn't seem to realize it at times. But we see that the Israelites were warned not to make graven images of any size. Furthermore, they were to keep the Sabbath day and reverence the tabernacle. Then God gives a conditional phrase. Leviticus 26, 3 and 4 said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give. We see here that the Israelites were promised rain when it was needed. They were promised crops would flourish, plenty to eat, safety in the promised land, no fear at night. God would rid the land of evil beasts, and their enemies would fall before them with the sword. God would renew the covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He would walk among them because He was their God. And that's the same promise that each and every one of us have today. If we will obey God, if we will keep Him at the, you know, at the top of our thoughts and in our decision makings and all, if we will serve our Heavenly Father, that He will give us the same thing. He would be with each and every one of us. He would renew this promise that we have of this home in heaven. What a wonderful life God has promised His children. They had no worries. They had food in abundance. They had plenty of children raising them up to be a great nation. They had no fears from the wild beast or enemies, as long as they stayed in their good relationship with God. Now, the life God promised the Israelites were a foretaste of heaven. But now on the other hand, we see over in the book of Leviticus. If you would turn over to Leviticus chapter 26, we're going to see what God promises on the other hand if you didn't keep his commandments. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14 through 21. Leviticus 26, 14 through 21. When he said, but if you would not hearken unto me and would not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that you would not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Verse 17 goes on saying, and I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you would not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heavens as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your hand shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Verse 21 says, and if you walk contrary unto me, with no hearkening unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Sounds kind of harsh, don't it? But what God is asking is not that hard. Now, if we look at it in human eyes, yes, it's going to look hard not to sin, not to want to go out and just enjoy life as the world sees it. But look at the great reward we would get for doing this. Here he's telling them that if Israelites failed to keep God's law, he's telling them they would experience terror, wasted diseases and fever. Enemies would eat which they sowed. Their enemies would then defeat them. And the children of God would serve those who they hated. The wild beasts would return and take their children and their livestock away. God made one more promise to the Israelites. If after refusing to obey God, they realized their grave error of the way they repented, that God would welcome them back with open arms. Here's a perfect opportunity. We can get into a lesson on, probably get into a couple lessons on the prodigal son. How the son decided he needed, that he deserved everything that was given to him. He deserved it right away just because he was that man's son. And we know how the story, how he goes all out and he just throws it all away. But yet, when he realizes he's messed up, gets his life straight, the Father's standing there with open arms. Same thing with our God. But here we see that God is offering his mercy, his grace to him, that he will welcome us back with open arms. The Lord said that he would once again renew the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 and 45. It goes on to tell us, Leviticus 26, on over 40 and 45, when it says, if they shall confess their iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers with the trespasses which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy their Sabbath, while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statute. And yet, for all that, when they be in the land of the enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. Verse 45 says, but I will, for their sake, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. He's telling us here he's not only their Lord of the children of Israel, but he's also our Lord. He's given us the same promise, the same grace, is showing us the same mercy that he showed these Israelites. That even though we might have stepped at one time or another, have stepped out into sin, but we realize the sinful life is not me. It's not what I need. And we realize that God's word, God's relationship is what we need. We want to come back into it. He's there for us. And he's going to renew this covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the books of Judges throughout Malachi show the Israelites repeating over and over again the pattern of obedience, rebellion, punishment, and repentance throughout the period of the Old Testament. When I first started studying the Bible and all everything, on a serious note, I was wondering, how could these children of the Israelites here be fed, clothed, and everything, be brought out of bondage? Everything that seemed impossible was made possible to them. How could they turn their back on God when they thought that things weren't going their way? It didn't take me long to realize that the same way that I was doing it, the same way that each and every one of us has done it in our lives. But then I rejoice, because the same love that God offers to the children of Israelites, he's offered to each and every one of us. That if we wrote the book from that little dash that's on the tombstone, from the beginning when we're born to when we die of physical life here on earth, that little story would tell about our rebellions of God, our obedience, our disobedience to God. And then hopefully it would tell about us realizing it and getting things straight and getting back into God, a great relationship with God, while we still have a good chance. Now, I have heard individuals comment, as I said before, I've said it myself and all, how we didn't understand them, how they could turn their backs on God, knowing the promises from God. All they had to do was obey his commands. Now, some have hinted that if they had lived back in the times of the Israelite nation, that they would not have turned their back on God, but would have wholeheartedly obeyed his every command, reaping the great blessings he bestowed upon them. I've heard people say, you know, if I was there when Christ was crucified, I'd have stood up and I'd have voiced my opinion. I'd have fought to the death, you know, saving and all. But then we have to stop and ask ourselves, would you really? Our life is not in jeopardy. It would have been then. But our life is not in jeopardy now if we go out and tell someone about God. If we go out and tell someone about Jesus giving his life on that cross. If we go out and tell someone that God loved us so much that he allowed his son to be tormented, to die in our place, that we can have forgiveness of our sins. How many times have we done that this week? Now forget about that. And think about, how many times can I do it in the week that I'm coming into right now? That's how we can prove that I'll stand up for God. By going out and talking to people. Wholeheartedly obeying God's command by sharing his word, by loving everyone. I mean, if God tells us to love our enemies, that's telling me to love everybody. I know it's hard. But the question is, are Christians today any different from the Israelites of long ago? I think not. We have been promised a wonderful home in heaven. Revelations chapter 21, verse 4. Now, as I said before, I tread lightly in the book of Revelation, but Revelation 21, 4 tells us that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21 and 4. And we go on down to Revelation 22 and 5. It says, in heaven there is no night, for God would give the needed light. We'll turn them over to the book of John. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. John 14, verses 2 and 3 says, and it's those that's got the red writings and everything, this is Christ's words in red. It said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What it's telling us here in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, is the same thing it's telling us over in Revelation 21. That heaven will be a beautiful place, which each occupant living in a mansion. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a mansion like we think of here on earth. I don't think our minds can comprehend or even begin to imagine the wonderful feeling that we're going to have with our Heavenly Father in heaven. It's telling us here that an eternal home in heaven belongs to each of us who obediently follows God. God has also promised an eternal home of punishment if we refuse to obey Him. Same thing as children of Israel, like we've studied a good bit. And I think it don't matter how many times you study or read about children of Israel, you're going to learn or see a different lesson or refresh one that needed to be refreshed. But here it's telling us that God has also promised an eternal home of punishment if we refuse to obey Him. Turn over right quick over to Revelation. And I don't know, as I said before, I don't know if it's because I said I'm going to stay out of the book or not, but it seems like every lesson I do, I'm in Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 and 15. Where it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a long time. Verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, for those whose face the earth and the heavens fell away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and the hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now God has told us in the book of John 14, also Revelation 21, what is promised to us if we will be obedient to Him, if we will keep His commandments, if we will stay in a good relationship with Him. Same thing here now, just the opposite though, that Revelation 20, 10 and 15, and also Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it's telling us here that there is the promise of an eternal home for those people also. Yet, there are many people who can read this and understand it, still ignore God's laws. Thousands, millions of individuals across the planet have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. Many of the same individuals own Bibles, have access to Bibles written in their native languages, but still many refuse to obey God's command, placing themselves in an unsavory relationship with God. Now, unfortunately, many who once loved and followed God's commandments have turned away from Him. They choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, rather than adhere to the love of God and enjoy His wonderful blessing. We see over in the book of James, in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. James chapter 1, 12 and 17 said, "Blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to him that love him. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." James chapter 1, 12, 17. And here we see that sin may seem pleasurable at the time, but the consequence of sin can lead to a heartbreaking, miserable life for the sinner and his family's close friends. I know that, and I'm sure some of the others who have preached, you know, eulogies and all, the funerals and all, if we know or got a good feeling that person was had their life right with God, it just makes it so much easier, so much sweeter to preach than to be worried if that person really did have their life right or not. But just as God promised the Israelites that He would once again walk among them and be their God if they would repent of their evil ways, God will welcome each and every one of us back with open arms if we repent our sinful ways. We see that in numerous places. Luke chapter 3, verses 13. Luke 3, 13. Also Luke chapter 15. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Acts 8, 22. Acts 17 and 30. Acts 17 and 30. Also James 5 and 20. James 5 and 20. And closing, heard another little story. Said a popular speaker was at a convention, and he started off a seminar by holding up a $20 bill. A crowd of over 200 people had gathered to hear him speak. He asked, "Who would like this $20 bill?" 200 hands went up. He said, "I'm going to give this $20 to one of you, but first, let me do this." He took the $20 bill and he crumpled it all up, just wadded it all up in his hand. Then he asked, "Who still wants it?" All 200 hands went up. Well, he replied, "What if I do this?" Then he dropped the bill on the ground and took his foot and just stomped all over it and twisted it, rubbed it all over the floor. He picked it up and showed it to the crowd. The $20 bill was all crumbled up and dirty. He said, "Now who still wants it?" Would you believe that all 200 hands still went up? He said, "My friends, I just showed you a very important lesson. No matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it, because it did not decrease in value. It was still worth $20. Many times in our life crumbles us and grinds us and basically into the dirt. We make bad decisions or deal with poor circumstances. We feel worthless. But no matter what has happened or what will happen, you will never lose your value. You are still special, and God still loves you. We don't ever need to ever forget that. I'd like to just say, though, that let each and every one of us take the time to examine our lives. One last verse over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, And verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reproved. Making course corrections as needed, so that each of us may live a life in accordance with God's will. Doing so will lead us to a happier life on earth, but more important, an eternity of heaven one day. If you need to be baptized, maybe you've been baptized, but you stepped out of the void. You need prayers and encouragement. You've examined yourself. You know that you need to make some improvements. Whatever it may be, we ask you to come at this time, and we stand and sing our song of invitation.